rich man looked across and seen Lazarus.
And seen Lazarus, and right?
I'm gonna
sit on this outside.
Yeah.
Well, I can.
And I waited too late to call somebody to come pick me up.
Oh.
I had my car being painted at winter,
uh-huh.
And I waited too late to call somebody to come pick me up.
Okay, for last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that story was the rich man. So what is far more important than being rich?
Being saved.
Being saved, right? Which is believing God and having eternal life would be another way to put that, or that's how they put it in here. And according to this story, Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, where do people go when they die? Okay, either there or, well, not everybody goes there.
Oh,
you're not going there.
No.
I was going to say, I'm not going there. I hope not.
She said, where do sinners go?
Sinner. Yeah, that's part of it.
I misunderstood your question. Sorry about that.
Yeah, either heaven or the everlasting punishment. Yes, and quite interesting. I had a question about that tonight at the store. Someone was asking that question, you know, well, is there a place called purgatory? And so that, you know, it is a question that is out there.
It is.
Where do you go when you die? Do you go immediately to heaven? Do you immediately go to... We've had that question here. We've talked about that. And I said, well, only thing I have in the Bible to go by is that there's heaven and there's hell.
That's right.
And I said, there's different terminology people use. You know, there can be used the lake of fire, which I understand is the last judgment. And then there's the... or the word Hades is used instead. That's often referring to hell, so it depends on the translation.
Well, so, when Jesus was on the cross, and, didn't he tell the one guy that he would see him in paradise that day?
Yeah.
So then I think there's not a place in between.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. So yeah, there is this there, but there is a lot of question out there in our world today where we still have this thing where it's a question. It's a legitimate question. Let me ask you one more question. What did the rich man ask Abraham to do for his brothers who were still alive?
Go back and tell them.
Yes, and to send Lazarus back. Will you send him back?
Right.
To tell my brothers about this place so that they would not end up where he was at in torment. And do anybody remember Abraham's response?
That if they had Moses and the prophets, and if they didn't believe them, then it wouldn't do any good for Lazarus to go back and tell them.
That's right, exactly. How are they going to believe someone who comes back from the dead if they don't believe what they already have? And all right, this lesson we're going to go to Mark 11. And this is the story where Jesus starts to ride into the... into the town. All right, so we're going to... Someone want to read, when you get it, Mark 11, 1 through 7.
When they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here right away.' So they went and found a young donkey outside in the street tied by a door. They untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the donkey?' They answered them just as Jesus had said, so they let them go. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus and threw their robes on it, and he sat on it."
Okay, you got to get this picture now. That would be like, let's put it in today's terminology. Okay, I'm going to tell Paul and Clavon, okay, I want you guys to go into Winter Ford and grab me a F-150 pickup truck, four-door, and bring it back. And when someone comes up to you, the police officers and the security guards say, "Well, Matt said that I should come." I mean, that's basically what we got here. Okay, you have a story. But why did Jesus say this? Does anybody know why Jesus said to go get the donkey?
Because
I mean, because logically, why would you just go pick up a colt, actually an unbroken donkey, right? Why would Jesus do this?
Testing their discipline.
What's that?
Testing their discipline.
Testing their discipline. Okay, could be part of that.
Or fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Well, I think there's another reason. I mean, and I'm going to read. Let me read to you what Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice, O people of Zion! Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem! Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Here is a reference to, and I think it'll come up there. Let me see. Nope. Yes, there we go. All these promises are fulfilling. Here at the end, Zechariah 9:9 is a prophetic word from prophet Zechariah. And he is saying, hey, that the king, which is Jesus, is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. So it had to be fulfilled. That was one of the things that was spoken about Jesus coming to be fulfilled. So it was a sign that there was there. Now, I think it's a little... the other thing I find... What do you find interesting about the story? Before I go and say something else about it.
You don't go
in
battle on a donkey. You don't go where? You don't go into battle on a donkey.
Oh, you don't go into battle on a donkey.
So it kind of confuses them since they were waiting for...
Okay. Well, notice it says this has never been ridden before. Has anybody ever rode on a horse that's never been ridden before, or an animal?
Tried a couple times.
You've tried a couple times? What happened, Paul?
Well, the result was the horse went on and I didn't.
Okay. So, can you imagine? What does this tell us about Jesus? It doesn't say that this donkey bucked and kicked Jesus around. Why not? Donkey whispering? Well, he was what? Right, he knew. He could have told that donkey be still, and the donkey would have been still, right? He's God.
So how come the people just let him take it?
Well, that's what I was wondering. When you see this, it says they asked him, some of the bystanders, so these are the people that probably aren't the owners of the donkey in the first place. They just see this donkey there, and it'd be like... Hey, what are you doing? You're going in, it's not your car.
Right.
It'd be like you seeing someone stealing someone's car and going over to him and saying, hey, what are you doing? It's not your vehicle. And so they're saying that. But then they said, well, they told him what Jesus had said. So when they did, they were like, oh, okay. So what does that tell you? The respect that they had for Jesus. Or they knew who Jesus was. They knew his name, at least. They may not individually knew him, but they knew, oh, okay, well, if Jesus needs it, then go ahead and take it. Now, when you say that, I mean, it's not their donkey in the first place to give up. These are bystanders. So I wonder what the owner really thought.
Right.
Or they knew the owner well enough to say, hey, well, if there's a person in need, it's okay to take that. There's also an underlying thing in this story that whatever is ours is not really ours. So if God needs it for his work... Let him have it, right? And so there is that. That wasn't part of the lesson, but that was free. All right, so now we're on to 8 to 10. Let's read 8 through 10.
And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Okay, so we got the crowd. And you got to picture this. It says many in the crowd. So there's a lot of people here. And if you've ever watched some of the old movies like Judah Ben-Hur or The Greatest Story Ever Told, those movies, you will see a portrayal of outside the city. Jesus riding a donkey and this taking place and imagining a large amount of crowds ahead. Why would they throw their clothes out on the ground? or their, you know, their garments. So it'd be like taking our jackets off and spreading them. Why would they do that?
So you wouldn't walk upon the soil, the dirt?
Okay, symboling what? What would that be a symbol of? Okay. Yeah. I mean, where do you see that today? Where do we see symbolism of that today? Yeah, for like, you know, you the red carpet treatment, they say, you know, the red carpet. Where else do you see that?
I mean, you know, you hear of a gentleman throws his coat down on a puddle for a young lady to cross.
Okay, so in the mud, so not going through the mud. I've never seen that now, Brenda, but I've heard of that happening. At weddings, yeah, at weddings, they roll down the white runner down the center of the aisle or down the aisle, and what is that for? Anybody know why they do the white runner? Symbolizing that wedding is a holy, this is a holy, yeah, this is, the union has now become, it's a holy union in front of all these people and before God. So again, they roll down the wedding. Is it necessary to have a runner down the aisle? No, it's not. That's a traditional setup. But again, a symbolism here of what these people were doing with Jesus. Okay, what else did they do?
Shouted out.
Yeah, he was shouted out. My Bible says that Jesus was in the center of the procession. So that means there were people in front, there were people on the sides, there were people in the back, and they were following Jesus, and they were yelling these praises out to him. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed on the king coming kingdom for our ancestor David. Blessed on the name who on one who comes in the name of the Lord. So you have this picture of a huge crowd, and I was reading later on in the Acts where the world cried for 2 hours to one of their gods. Now I don't know how long it took them to get in this city, but here they are crying out, and I'm sitting here thinking they said the same thing over and over again before their God. I wonder what that would look like on a Sunday morning if we were to get in Sunday morning in church and just holy, holy, holy for 2 hours. I wonder what that would look like. What it would sound like. I don't know. You might think that's kind of strange. Who wants to stay for 2 hours doing that? But it is one of these things. So here they are going in, proceeding in, and we get this picture. It's all about praise. What were they really thinking that Jesus had come to do, though? They were fulfilling the. They were thinking, okay, here comes the deliverer, right? But what kind of deliverer were they expecting?
They expected
like a worldly king.
Worldly king, yeah. They were expecting him to Jesus to deliver him from the Romans, right? The Greeks and the Romans who were at that time in control of the world. However, they were not really thinking, you know, of Jesus as one to free them from the punishment of sin, the punishment of death. All right, skip over a little bit. So you have that picture. Let's skip over to chapter 14, and let's read what chapter 14 now takes place. So you got this picture that Jesus enters into the city. He's going into the city, and as he goes in, let's see what happens. This is Mark 14, 1 through 2.
After 2 days, it was the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a treacherous way to arrest and kill him. Not during the festival, they said, or there will be rioting among the people.
Anybody think of something like that that takes place today? Yeah, we do that oftentimes too. Our government will do the same thing. We want to get something through, so we sneak it through Congress at night. Because if we do it during the middle of the day, the United States people are going to riot. They're going to go crazy, right? They're going to get up and roar because, you know, so Congress sneaks things through, or, you know, they do things, you know, behind the scenes. Well, we have the same thing here. Here they are, and they are doing it because it is the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And the reason I say the Festival of Unleavened Bread, because for a period of 7 days, the children of Israel, they would go through their entire house and make sure there was not a... They would clean it top to bottom to make sure there was no crumbs of leavened bread. So if you were, you know, we eat bread that has leaven on it or yeast in it. The donuts you guys ate the other week, those had yeast in it. So those would be outlawed during this period of time. Nobody in anywhere, if you were a Jewish person, you were not allowed to have anything. You weren't allowed to touch leavened bread. You weren't allowed to have anything with leaven in it. So here's this thing. So they're now saying, okay, we don't want to do this. It's a celebration. It's the Passover. It's where we remember our freedom from Egypt and, you know, how God delivered us. And so we're not going to go ahead and arrest him now. But they are plotting to secretly capture him and to kill him. Okay? And so, let me go back. This will be an easy question because I've asked it, who was guiding the Jewish leaders at this time?
Satan,
right, okay. And Satan was trying to have Jesus killed. And why would Satan want Jesus killed?
So he don't have people
following him. Huh?
So he don't have people that he could follow.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, he wanted to prevent God. He was trying to prevent God at any cost, no matter what, from carrying out the plan for the deliverer to come and, you know, save those who were lost, right? So yeah, the followers. All right. Mark 14, and let's skip down to verse 10. Let's see what happens.
And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money, and they sought how they might conveniently betray him.
All right, so we have Judas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Now, this is one that Jesus would have handpicked. Okay, he would have said, hey, Judas, come.